All right, Browns fans, we're in this together, man. We're in this together. Let's all hold hands around the campfire, sing a song. It's going to be all right. Well, you know, not for the football team, but for ourselves. We'll stick together. Welcome to the Doghouse. Your inside look at the Cleveland Browns. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Browns insider reporter for WKYC Sports in Cleveland, Mr. Matt Florjancic. Oh, Matt, usually bye weeks are a time to get away, to relax a little bit. Instead, with the Browns' complete and total anarchy. Is that the right word? It's just craziness.
Ineptitude, anarchy, yep. Embarrassment. And that bye week was as bad a bye week as I've seen in a near decade I've been covering this team.
Matt,
you say Kaiser's the guy and he's showing progress, then you go try to make a deal for AJ McCarron and that falls through for whatever reason, and we will get to that. But then you have to go back and you're like, yo, Deshaun, you're still my guy. Like, I tried to trade for another guy, but you're still my guy. And it's like, it doesn't work that way.
No.
This is not going to end well.
Oh, it really doesn't. And luckily, folks, we're brought to you by Cleveland Whiskey. ClevelandWhiskey.com. Now, man, every week it's like, oh, need some more. I'm telling you. But Matt is actually going to be coming up to watch the Detroit Lions game in Canada with myself and the family. We're going to be going up, and he's making a Cleveland Whiskey bootleg run, bringing me up some hickory wood and some Christmas bourbon. I got to restock, right? I'm out since my trip in September, so Matt's going to stock me up here. And, Matt, I think we might have to have a couple sips together, judging how this Lion games go.
Ooh, a couple sips of Cleveland Whiskey. You might have a better perspective on the team, my friend.
Better than Sashi Brown. And you go to ClevelandWhiskey.com, ClevelandWhiskey.com on Twitter, at Cleve Whiskey, Instagram, Facebook. Check out all their stuff. It's not just the products they're promoting. It's new technology. It's different recipes. It's really cool. Check it out, ClevelandWhiskey.com. If you're in the Cleveland area, hey, the distillery's right downtown. It's right there. If you're out of state or outside of Cleveland, no problem. Just visit ClevelandWhiskey.com. Check out their product lines, and it tells you where to find it near you. I'm on Twitter at AndyMC81. Matt is at Matt Florjancic. Matt, when a bye week finishes with the word sabotage, did the front office sabotage a trade? You know you're in trouble. What the hell is going on?
Boy, I wish I was a fly on the wall in that room, but at the same time, I don't, because I'd be ready to smack some people upside the head. Like, how do you not be a part of Jimmy G?
It's insane.
And not be willing to part with multiple picks for Jimmy G and then throw multiple picks at AJ McCain. Oh, my goodness.
It's madness.
To not get the paperwork in and then still deny it. That's, I think, the ultimate problem with this team is they're still denying that they screwed it up. They say the Bengals had just as much to screw up as the Browns did. And while that may be true, Cincinnati came out right away and said, look, this was not our deal. Like, we did not screw this up. Like, we submitted everything we were supposed to submit. And it makes the Browns look foolish, like they don't know what they're doing. And they don't. So I detailed everything that's gone wrong since the Haslams bought the team in a very lengthy article last week. And the last half of it just continues to boggle my mind. 2016, these guys are put in charge. 2 months later, we didn't expect free agency to happen as fast as it did. So you lose four starters on a team that's already bad.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't replace them with anybody. Okay. Then you have a chance at negotiating with somebody, and you don't want to negotiate. You just make one offer, you cut and run. That's not how this business works. You can't just cut and run. Look, you can make a final offer after negotiating for a while, but if you make an offer and the guy says, I want to test free agency first, and you just pull the offer and say, oh, we're not going to offer you, we're not going to do anything, and then 2 years later, you're still looking to fill that position, I think you need to reevaluate your process, because you cannot continue to negotiate this way and let talent walk out of the building, not replace it with anything, and then wonder why you still suck.
Yeah. Oh, but Matt, they won the negotiation, right? That's what these lawyers
want.
No,
they didn't, because they didn't negotiate at all. They didn't win anything.
It's crazy.
They lost.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, like, in their mind, the team loses, fans lose, but to them, it's like, well, we stood our ground. Now Terrell Pryor. Yeah, well, you know what? Terrell Pryor may be having a horrific season and be a giant free agent bust, but I guarantee you he would be more productive here and way better off than with Kenny Britt, who is still a disaster. And Sashi Brown in that press conference, Matt, says, oh, he's going to have multiple opportunities. And next year, Jimmy Haslam should have burst through the door and said, enough of the charade. You're fired. Disgusting arrogance. Disgusting.
See, here's the thing with the whole deal with Terrell Pryor. Yeah, he's not having the greatest year. He looks like a bust in free agency. It's a one-year contract.
Yeah.
Kenny Britt is a four-year deal that's guaranteed to pay him a whole heap of money.
Yeah.
And you had to send his butt home at curfew.
It's Dwayne Bowe all over again, Matt. It's Dwayne Bowe all over again.
No. Dwayne wasn't even that bad.
Because he didn't play.
Like, Dwayne couldn't get on the field. But he couldn't get on the field, but he wasn't as much of a distraction as this cat. Like, he's getting multiple players sent home. Mm-hmm. He's out partying until like 1-2 o'clock in the morning with the starting quarterback who was just named the quarterback. Like, it's a comedy of errors, and really the biggest error of all is the fact that he's still there.
Well, Matt, and it's not, to me, the best atmosphere to be welcoming Josh Gordon back in. Like, we better not see any sort of association between Kenny Britt and Josh Gordon, because otherwise Gordon is going to have his butt back on the suspended list, and it'll be done.
Yeah, I mean, this is his last. I got to believe this is his last shot.
I think it
and
has to be.
I don't want anything to do with him being around Kenny Britt. I don't think any good is going to come from anything that involves Kenny Britt. I didn't like the signing initially because I know that he's got some checkered, and I really don't like the signing now because I don't think it makes any damn sense.
No, and that he's still on the team, and that he won't be cut.
It was a complete and utter panic move.
Sure it was.
And they knew it, and they made it anyway, and they're still paying for it.
But, Matt, it's a panic move, and we see these guys make panic moves, this front office. So Kenny Britt was a panic move because you lost Pryor, so you overpaid. Then, your other panic move, you were asleep at the switch for Jimmy Garoppolo, and then you would have been fleeced by the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course the Bengals had their paperwork and everything in on time. They were taking the Browns to the cleaners for A.J. McCarron, who's done nothing. And I know Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't done a whole lot, but his pedigree is much higher. This is a fifth-round pick who came into the NFL scouting combine chubby, won a national championship as a guy who handed the ball off, and his claim to fame is that he's got a hot girlfriend. And you're giving up a second and third round pick for A.J. McCarron, who is at best, his ceiling to me right now, Matt, is a backup. It's exactly where they were. The Browns have enough career backups. I got Cody Kessler. I have Kevin Hogan and DeShone Kizer. What am I doing with A.J. McCarron? So I'm glad it didn't happen from that sense.
Yeah, from that sense, I understand that. And I agree with you that I'm glad it didn't happen. I just think the buffoonery behind the scenes is what makes the Browns look terrible.
Absolutely.
You cannot continue to be this poor. Like, you've executed a billion trades since you took over. Obviously, it hasn't been that many. But they've executed
17.
Three dozen trades since they took office. You mean to tell me you suddenly forgot how to make the paperwork?
Like,
dude,
what
it
happened?
Screams sabotage. It screams that Sashi Brown screwed this up on purpose.
Yeah. And Matt, word coming out after is that teams don't know who to call, who to deal with. It's the same thing that was under Ray Farmer. Like, it's different names, but same situation. So you have, like, Bill Belichick. I heard this past week that in the Jamie Collins deal, it kept going back and forth. And we know Bill is a no-nonsense guy. He didn't want to deal with the Browns. You are having teams that do not want to interact with your front office unless they are fleecing you. They don't like the back and forth. They feel like they are trying to take advantage of them as far as, like, the Browns trying to keep coming back and it's not a clean negotiation and people have to check back and forth. Like, you need a football guy who can make football decisions, not guys who are trying to be too clever and win the deal. Because teams aren't going to want to trade with you, Matt.
You win the deal by acquiring talent that actually shows up. You don't win the deal by getting more picks. Like,
nope.
It's the one thing that bothers me more than anything is they try to say, oh, we're winning deals. No, you're not. The bottom line is you're still not winning games. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can't win games, then winning deals don't matter.
Matt, did I hear correctly in Sashi Brown's complete BS of a press conference that he said that the team is making progress, like they're on, I'm paraphrasing.
He did say progress, yeah.
progress? Can that be explained at 1-23 progress? Like, does he think the people of Cleveland are mentally challenged, Matt? Like, does he think, like, everybody is just their head in the sand? What is wrong with this guy?
I'm not exactly sure, dude. I don't really know what the hell's going on.
It's
like,
insane.
They can't. It's like it continues to get worse. Like, you think, oh, it can't get worse, and then all of a sudden it gets worse, and you're like, oh my god,
sabotage.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, the word sabotage. Like, when being thrown around.
And the thing is, it's not just our coaches that are talking about it. It's multiple coaches in the NFL that are talking about, you know, that this is what's going down. Like, this is how it's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, all other people are telling you that you're getting sabotaged by your own GM. Like, how does that feel if you're the coaches to know that? Like, you got to think that you're on the hot seat and you're going to be gone and you're going to be dismissed because the guy running the ship just wants to keep his power and doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Well, hope maybe, Matt, with all this coming out, this in the long run might be a good thing for Hugh Jackson for next year, because he can make the argument, what chance did I have? What chance did I have with this front office that puts zero talent around me and is trying to sabotage deals when I want a quarterback to win a few games? What chance did I have? That's a pretty damn good argument to me if I'm going to Jimmy Haslam and saying, hey, man, what do you want me to do here?
Right. You're giving me chicken, you know what, and you're expecting me to make chicken salad.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work that way.
No. What is he supposed to do? Like, I'd be fine with having Hugh come back, blowing up that front office and getting a decision maker in there. Like, I don't mind if you keep some, like, Andrew Berry, a football guy, seems like a young up and comer. I don't mind keeping him around and maybe a couple of the others. Like, you can have analytics people in to advise, but not make ultimate decisions. But give Hugh another year, bring somebody else in and evaluate it, and then go from there. Because, like, Matt, who, under that regime, bring in any coach you want. You can bring in John Gruden off of the out of the broadcast booth. Nick Saban from out, doesn't matter. They're not winning squat with what Sashi Brown is putting in front of them.
Well, and that's actually a good point, because Chris Landry from Landry Sports made that point on a local radio station last night. Look, you know, if you bring in a better coach, okay, so you bring in a guy with more cachet than Hugh Jackson, and you win two games.
Yeah, so what?
What does that prove?
Yeah.
It doesn't – I mean, if you need, a Hall of Fame coach to just win two games, that tells you that the talent acquisition is terrible.
Yeah.
And until you figure that out, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you put that in perspective, it's absolutely right. Has Hugh made mistakes? Has his coaching staff made mistakes? Are they the most undisciplined team in the league? Yeah. But here's also part and parcel to that. They're also the youngest team in the
mm-hmm.
league. They don't know what they're doing, and they have nobody to learn from except for coaches and film. There's no veteran on this team that can take the bull by the horns and say, "This, listen, guys, follow me. This is how you do it." The only guy that you have that can do that is Joe Thomas, and he's out for the year. You got rid of Joe Hayden. It does that. But normally, on good teams, it's your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You let go all your veterans. You bring in DeShone Kizer. You bench him twice because you're trying to win a ball game. Look, everybody's killing Hugh Jackson in the local media about continuing to pull Kizer. The guy's trying to win a game
because he's
trying to save his job.
Yeah.
Like,
I can't blame
him. I don't care
him.
If he runs you and me out there at quarterback. I'm not blaming him for
that.
He's got to do what's best for his football team. And when his quarterback is throwing picks like people handing out Halloween candy, you got to put his butt on the bench. You got to make him learn that you can't do that.
It's not – yeah, you're right, Matt. You're right. And you know what? All the errors and everything, and especially – think about this. I think we said this before on the show. And Chris Tabor is far from – and I don't know. I'm going to refrain from going on a Zane Gonzalez rant, how that guy is still employed beyond me. Anyway, he's still on the team. But for special teams –
well, the key to that one is they couldn't find anybody better.
Well, I'm trusting Sashi Brown to do that. Right? Like, I don't trust this man to find anything, any talent. There probably is a better kicker out there, Matt.
We talked about this before the show, Andy. about how good Canadian Football League players tend to find their way to an NFL training camp.
Yeah.
I'm all for Justin Medlock coming to Cleveland.
Oh, I know him.
Justin Medlock is an outstanding kicker, and he's welcome at my team anytime.
Well, I got to know him when he was with the Hamilton Ticats, and I was calling games for TSN, and very, very cerebral guy, nice guy, big foot. Hey, you got lot. There are kickers. It's not that different, right?
All I know is that when he sees two yellow posts, he put the freaking ball in between them.
That's it. Well, Winnipeg plays this week, so if they get eliminated, I don't know what the league rules are, but maybe he can scamper on down for a few games, pick him up. Oh, but Matt, okay. So you have on special teams. Special teams players are not starters typically for a team. So on good teams, you have players who are not starting. On the Browns, the players starting would not be starting on almost any other team in the league. So think about the quality of your special teamers. You're getting guys who wouldn't be on practice rosters on a lot of clubs. That's why I look to give Chris Tabor a pass to a certain extent, Matt, because again, just like Hugh Jackson, what the heck is he supposed to do?
Well, that's the thing that bothered me too, is like when Sashi talked about progress, he talked about how they've acquired 5 years worth of picks in what will be 3 draft classes. And he's like, you know, well, progress, we're seeing a lot of young guys get in there, and they're not only just getting playing time, but they're playing well. And it's like,
really? 1-23,
what are you looking at? Because outside of Myles Garrett's 3 games and, you know, hit and miss with some other guys, with Njoku, you know, being the one exception, every once in a while he comes up with a very good play. You've seen Kaiser struggle so much so that you tried to trade for a quarterback, and he's only made 7 starts.
Right.
Peppers is behind every play, even though he starts 30 yards off the line of scrimmage.
He's lost.
He's still having to track catch down from behind. If you watch the Will Fuller touchdown from the Houston Texans game, Fuller went unchecked for 30 yards after Jamar Taylor released off of him. So the Browns were in a zone, cover 2 zone. And all of a sudden, he catches the ball, and you see Peppers coming from behind him. So that means even though he's 30 yards off the ball, guys are still getting behind him.
Wow.
Which is the whole reason why you're playing 30 yards off the ball in the first place, is to prevent that.
Yeah.
Like, how they measure progress is way different than a normal human being's measurement of progress. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
No.
They think just because guys are playing early and playing often, that's a good thing. But the coaches will tell you, on good teams, guys that get drafted don't play very much in their first 2 years. Cameron Hayward was a first-round draft pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He didn't play for like 2 years.
Yep.
Okay, other guys go into the Pittsburgh Steelers system, and they wait unless they're like a superbly talented person that's a clear upgrade at what they have. They get them in, they develop them in the culture, and then they move them up, move them on. You know, that's what they do. But with this team, they're so devoid of talent that as soon as you get in, boom, you got to play.
Yeah.
You got to play. And, like, everybody wanted to talk about, well, Kaiser looked the best in the preseason. Look, just because he looked the best, the quarterbacks, does not mean he was ready. He was the best of a bad bunch.
And that, again, falls on Sashi Brown, because you have a quarterback room that has a combined 0 NFL wins. That's despicable.
That's the ultimate progress, I think, right there, is that shows you that we're regressing, is the fact that still, after 2 years now, none of the quarterbacks on your roster have a professional win.
How wild is that to say? Like, the Browns, it's beyond a
joke. Well, it's unconscionable from a talent standpoint. And I hate to tell you, but if this regime is still allowed to make a draft pick next year,
oh my gosh,
don't be surprised if they don't, you know, after, you know, passing up on every good Buckeye that's come out of Ohio State in the last 3 years, don't be surprised if they don't draft JT Barrett, because analytically, he's off the charts.
First round pick for JT.
He completes a crap ton of passes.
Oh.
He throws for a bunch of yards. He throws touchdowns. He set every record. He's played at a big school. You know, never won a big one. Very rarely does well in big games, but, you know, damn it, he's good analytically.
That would be the one Buckeye.
Don't be surprised if with a second round pick they don't draft JT Barrett.
Oh, that would be the one Buckeye we get. Oh my gosh.
The kid is going to be a phenomenal CFL quarterback.
Yeah, he ain't playing in the NFL.
But he's not going to be successful in the NFL. Maybe if he gets in the right system, he could. But this is far from the right system.
No, and I think JT Barrett, if he is in the NFL, has like converting to a scat back slot receiver type written all over him. Like I think he might go the Braxton Miller route.
Right. What I meant by saying he's a great CFL quarterback, and I did not mean that as a diss.
Oh no, it's a different game.
To your game or what? Because when I look at the CFL quarterbacks, they're tend to be a little smaller. You're not going to see like a 6'6" guy like you will in the NFL. That prototype goes straight to the NFL. It does not mess around with the CFL. You look for guys that can sling it, guys who've had success in college, but maybe, you know, people had questions about their size, their durability. That's why Johnny Manziel will probably succeed if he's given a chance in the CFL.
If he stays
he's
up.
Undersized, but he's athletic. He knows how to use
his
body to extend plays. Like, that's kind of how the game is predicated on. It's a lot more wide open. It's not as confining as the NFL. And that's why I think guys like Barrett, guys like Manziel could succeed at the CFL level.
Yeah, bigger field, one fewer down. So, yeah, like he might get there unless the Browns
can another
draft
target
him.
Too, because there's 12 guys on each side of the
exactly.
ball.
Exactly. But, Matt, yeah, we look at what the Browns did over the bye week. It's disgusting. Sashi Brown, it's straight up lies. It's someone who is trying to paint a picture for the owner and trying to cover his own butt, but it's see-through. It's completely see-through. And now we just have to hope that the Browns somehow win a couple games. And I, as the roster stands now, I don't see it. The one thing that, or two things that might happen, Matt, actually make that three. Myles Garrett plays the rest of the year healthy. Josh Gordon returns and is productive. And Corey Coleman comes back and stay healthy. And that's really, those are really the only, if all those three things happen, maybe you have a chance at one or two games. But if one of those things don't, like being winless is becoming a very stark reality.
Well, that's the scary part of how this thing is set up, is that you have to, and Hugh Jackson said it, look, we have to play perfect to win a game, not to win the championship. We have to play perfect just to win one time.
Wow.
Not
that doesn't
good.
Happen. That doesn't happen.
That, you can tell the frustration was boiling over on that point, because he had to say that because it's true. They're so devoid of talent that everything has to go perfectly right for them in order to even have a chance to compete.
Oh yeah.
And when you're talking about that kind of talent differential, you can't win, and you can't expect a coach to be successful.
No. And then
and
he
you
starts
have to
going
measure
crazy
success in a completely different manner than the rest of the league, which is all focused on wins and losses.
Mm-hmm. Look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, Matt. The last 5 years, they had, I think it's an identical record and ineptitude of the Browns. They switched from an analytics focus.
And an analytics base.
And an analytic, where Sashi Brown also came from, by the way. But yet you go to two old school football guys and look at them in a 1 year turnaround. Now, I don't know how the rest of the year is going to go, but you can turn it around in the NFL in 1 year. It doesn't take 3 years. This isn't a long-term rebuild situation. It just isn't.
You get the right people in place with the right quarterback and some other things that go well for you, man, are you in good shape.
Yeah. But, Matt, look at the Jags. They don't even have the right quarterback, and they're still doing well. Like, Blake Bortles is terrible, and they're making do. But you have football guys making football decisions with a tremendous defense and a heck of a running game. And that's really what this team is supposed to be.
That's the thing. They have Fournette. And they parked him because they were pissed at him for being irresponsible.
Sure did.
And they said, you're done.
Culture.
You can stay home.
Yep. Culture setter.
We would never do that.
Oh,
they sent Kenny Britt home, but I guarantee Hugh Jackson paid a pretty good price for that one because Sashi doesn't want to see that.
Maybe that's why
the
sabotage.
How are you going to send home our biggest free agent acquisition? That makes us look bad. Well, no offense, Sunshine, but you make yourself look pretty damn bad every time you open your mouth and you lie.
Yep.
I mean, he flat out still denies that they were the ones that screwed up. Look, if you came out and said, yeah, we screwed up, you know, it was an oversight or whatever, fine. But to continuously lie to yourself And then the lie to the public that's supposed to buy your tickets.
Oh.
There's a reason why those Ravens, the tickets to the Ravens game are available for as low as
$4. $4. Wow.
You can get into an NFL regular season week 15 game when most teams are going for a division championship at that point for $4. You can't even get into a preseason game for that. You can barely get anything at the concession stand for $4.
I know.
Hell, I don't even know you can get up. I don't even think you can get a bottle of water for $4.
No, it might be $4 like right on. You're right. You're right. Like, Matt, like, isn't that ultimately what Jimmy Haslam is going to see? Like, it hurts in the pocketbook? Like, that your fan base, they're not showing up? Like, doesn't that,
well,
like, how can
know,
you be
I don't
sold?
Know that's going to hurt them as much this year with ticket sales. I think it'll hurt with concessions and stuff like that because most of the $4 tickets are resales.
Are resales.
So they already
yeah.
have the money for that.
Right, right. But you're still going to look out and have an empty
year,
stadium.
When they send out those season ticket renewals.
Oh. I feel bad for this ticket people
doing that because there's no way you can even make the case for doing that.
Like, how do you do it as a salesperson?
You know, he was hemming and hawing a couple years ago about whether he was going to keep his tickets or not. He would talk to me about it, and his wife was pleading with me to convince him not to buy his tickets. Well, long story short, he was hemming and hawing, asked his ticket sales rep, just tell me one thing and I'll renew. Who's your starting quarterback? The guy said, sir, I can't tell you that.
Wow.
No more season tickets.
Matt, you feel so bad.
People like him.
You feel so
more
bad.
I know more people who have dropped their season tickets than bought, and it's probably 10 to 1.
You can't blame the people.
Since about 2015.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't blame them. Why are you going to fork out that much cash? And imagine the poor salesperson.
And
how do you go to work every day?
These are guys who had tickets since 99.
Yeah.
Had the PSLs, and they gave up their PSLs because they're like, look, this is useless, and what are you going to do for this? You made me buy one, and now you're just offering season tickets without a PSL? What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, you know, it'll get its value back when we start winning again. And the guy's like, and when is that going to happen?
Yeah, when would that
be, please? When are you going to make that happen?
Yeah.
Again, no answer.
Nope.
He ate the I think it was like $1,500 per ticket per seat. And he just said, you know what? At least I'm not wasting any more money. Does it hurt to take that $3,000 hit? Absolutely. But at least I'm not wasting another $1,200 a year on tickets that I can't even resell for a half a face value.
Half. Jeez. Ugh, Matt, and like the poor salespeople, like, what's the pitch? Hey, you want to renew and just hope the person does? Like, there's no counter. There's no script you can write that makes it appealing. Like, you can't sell
when they,
wins.
When they had to
anything.
Do a deal with Cedar Point to give you free Cedar Point tickets to buy tickets to the Bengals, that's bad.
Division game. Yeah. Wow.
That's a division game in October.
Mm-hmm. That is rough. All right, Matt.
Honestly, if you play this schedule game the rest of the way, their only winnable game is Green Bay right now.
Maybe.
Because Green Bay has a terrible quarterbacking situation.
Yeah. How you like that, Packer fans? Huh? Look what you look like without a quarterback. Welcome to our world, baby. Welcome to our world.
And by the way, after having 6 weeks to get acclimated, he might look pretty good.
Yeah, that'll be our luck. He'll click in that week. Yeah, you know, no, it could happen. Could happen. All right, Matt, let's get to our prediction here. Detroit Lions welcoming in the Cleveland Browns.
We haven't even mentioned the Detroit Lions yet.
It doesn't matter. There's no
We're
point breaking down the game.
We're 30 minutes into this thing, and we still haven't mentioned the Lions.
There's no point breaking down the game. Like, okay. So we're going to pick that the Lions are going to win by how much? I think they're 12-point favorites right now in Vegas.
Oh, healthy quarterback, good offense. Competent defense.
Yep.
I say they don't cover, but I think they win by double digits. I think they win by 10. I'll say 24 to 14.
Nice. I was going to give a 10 point as well. It's so tough to win in the NFL by double digits, even when you're playing the Browns. It is really tough. So you're saying 24-14?
You wouldn't know it by their record.
No. It's in a dome. I'll say 30-20 Detroit. I'll be a little optimistic that the Browns can score some points out of the bye, but they'll lose. That's just the way, you know, if you're in a predictor pool, you just keep picking against the Browns. Even last year, you would have been 15-1, right? Like,
And I was 15-1.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Matt. Well, the good thing is at least we'll have great company. You'll be coming up. Your wife, Jessie, will be coming up with you. And you'll be spending some nice time in Niagara Falls and then visiting us in Southern Ontario there in Pickering. And we'll get to watch the game together. And, hey, you know what? Miracles happen. Maybe you're the lucky charm.
Yeah, but I can't drive up to Toronto every week.
If they win, we might have to fly you up. We might have to copter you up. We'll see. We'll see if we can get a helicopter sponsor, a small plane, something. Anyway, all right, buddy. Well, safe travels. Of course, folks, go to clevelandwhiskey.com, our great sponsor there. Check it out. Like, the Christmas bourbon's back, folks. Matt's gonna be bringing me one up. I'll be posting pictures. And Matt, I think we'll do a Facebook Live special doghouse Sunday afternoon. So stay tuned for that too. Right.
Sounds good, man. Always look forward to it.
All right, brother. Safe travels up.
All right. Gracias, mi amigo. We'll see you in a couple days.
Okay. That is Matt Florjancic. Check out his work, WKYC.com/sports. Get ready for the Lions game and all the Browns news there. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Florjancic, myself at AndyMC81, and Cleveland Whiskey on social media at Cleve Whiskey on Twitter. You can get him on Instagram and Facebook as well. Let's keep a good thought, Browns fans. Who knows? Maybe this will be the week. You've been listening to The Doghouse. Your inside look at the Cleveland Browns.